At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
What's up, guys? It's your boy Dylan at Thunder Jazz, and I'm here with a word from our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports contests and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Just head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BLEAV50, that is BLEAV50 in all capital letters, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to last week. Oh, no, wait, that's John Oliver. how do we usually start these things?
Welcome in to another episode of the Topic Thunder podcast. Oh, okay,
welcome. I was close.
But I mean, hey, man, you riff, you go on your own, man. That works.
This is your host, Stephen Dolan at Steve Thunderfan. I am moving on up the ranks. I just came on for the first time in months last week, and here I am hosting already. Quick promotion. I'm joined.
It's either a promotion or the other person didn't want to do it, so just put you in charge of it. So,
hey, that's how promotions happen, baby. that other voice you hear is Alex Roig. Although, Alex, have you heard, and it again, it's been, I haven't been on here much, but back in the day, I was told a few times that people have a hard time distinguishing between your voice and mine. Have you heard this?
Really? I've not heard that at all.
I know. It surprises me too, but you always, I guess you sound different in your head than you do
IRL. I guess. Like, your voice is more like intellectual asshole, and like mine is just asshole. Like, so I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's just like in contrast with Dylan, who obviously he has the distinctive accent, and then he a little bit higher pitched. And I think just when me and you were together, especially bounced off of some of the other people, like just our low voices kind of like Maybe it's not so confusing if it's just the two of us. Yeah. I guess we'll find out if they think talking to ourselves.
Growing up, like every R&B group always had that one deep voice guy. They never had two. So maybe that's the reason why you haven't come on the podcast here, you know, a lot over the past couple of years, because we can't have two. We can't have two deep voice gentlemen on here. We can only have one.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to get diversity in pitches. We are in the doldrums of the offseason. We're in the depths of it, man. There's like nothing to talk about. I mean, I know like all the pods are talking about Robert Sarver, and I mean, I think they've got it. They've got it covered, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No good, very bad. Don't do it.
So I never realized how hard it is to get rid of an owner, and it kind of makes sense because you know you have only 30 guys in the entire world that have invested so much money and so much time into getting, you know, these franchises going and things of that nature. And so, yeah, you don't necessarily, for every mess up and every slip up, you don't necessarily want to set a precedent that, you know, you can get rid of this guy pretty easily. With that said, you know, like a lot of people like to harken back to the Donald Sterling thing, but his situation is completely different than Robert Sarver's, because his was a situation where he was getting older. He probably didn't have all his faculties. And so his wife actually went ahead and took over control of the team from him, you know, through legal matters, through legal means. And then that's, you know, that's the point where, you know, they sold the team. She got $2 billion from the deal. And then everybody in the situation, other than probably Donald Sterling, outside of the money, was pretty happy of the outcome. This situation right here, there's nothing much that Adam Silver can do other than maybe answering questions a little bit better. But
he really botched that up, didn't he?
He really did.
He could give a longer suspension, but who knows what that even means. And I just feel like, I think it's probably like a 99% agreement, everybody, that like the punishment wasn't enough. So we can start with that. Like the NBA should have done more. Okay, done. But having said that, I think more will happen. Like we've already seen some sponsors back out, like their Jersey Patch sponsor, PayPal, already is saying we're out. When his suspension's over, if he's still there, we're out. The second largest owner of the Suns is calling for his resignation. You got Chris Paul and LeBron speaking up loudly on social media. So like, I just think if we just let it play itself out a little bit, like I guess it's possible he holds on till the new TV deal, or if they're going to welcome two new teams in, he probably wants his cut of that. But I think he's probably a short timer at this point. So
yeah, I think so. And I mean, hey, there's a lot worse short time situations out there. Like he's going to get out and he's going to get a whole bunch more money than he put into it.
Yeah.
Don't cry for me, Argentina, when it comes to Robert Sarver. He'll be okay.
Yeah. I think that's enough of Robert Sarver.
I think so.
So annoying. Okay. So cheap it asshole. Being the right. Yeah. Not even a good owner in the first place. So I was thinking what we could do is, and Sam Vecenie was doing this on his podcast, so this isn't like groundbreaking idea, but the Vegas over-unders are out, and I know they bounce around a little bit, but I think things have pretty much settled down. Like Donovan Mitchell trade happened. It seems like the Nets are staying pat for now. Seems even like Russell Westbrook might just be there, at least just around the season. Yeah. So like, I think we're kind of set, at least to get the season rolling. So I was thinking we could just go over the over-unders and just like go down the list. The list we're using is from VegasInsider.com, which is the first Google result. So I didn't look too hard. And I just think it's funny looking down this list. Like you can see that at some point they made this list in decreasing order of wins, but then that they made it before the Donovan Mitchell trade happened. So didn't reorder the teams. So you still have Cleveland sitting here, and it says their over-under is 46.5, but they're sitting between the Bulls and Blazers, who have 43 and 40.
40, yeah.
And then down at the bottom, or close, not as far to the bottom as you would think, are the Jazz, who are sitting between the Wizards and the Kings at 35 and 32, but theirs is 26. So they just switched their numbers.
They just changed the numbers.
They didn't bother to move them up and down. I just
come on, Vicini. That's lazy.
Oh, no. This is not Vicini. This is VegasInsider.com.
Vegas Insider. Come on, Vegas Insider.
Come on, Vegas Insider. Okay, so I figure we'll just start at the top, and then your standard NBA fan would probably want to start at the bottom with the bad teams and work their way up and crescendo with the good teams, you know. But yes, us being fans of the team we are, I thought we should probably just go down the list and end up with the teams more relevant to us, where the interest is, you know.
Our climax is at the bottom, baby.
All right, so first up, we got the Boston Celtics over under 55.5.
I would say over. I think so there's a possibility of like a finals hangover for them, I think. Mm-hmm. But I also think that they didn't really start flourishing until after, you know, the new year last year. And so, you know, it took them some time to get used to M.A. Udoka's system. I think it took them some time to kind of gel together under his system. And so once they did, they kind of took off. So looking at 55.5, I would probably take the over.
Yeah, I just realized that we should probably pull up. I pulled up last year's standings just to kind of get a feel for like the win loss and like what's normal and what's like a lot. And there were only two teams last year that went over 55.5. Memphis went 56, and then the Suns hit 64. So 55.5 is a big number.
Remember, though, weird season last year with all the COVID stuff in January.
Yeah, yeah. And the Celtics only got better. You know, they added Brogdon, and like they started the year super, super slow. They got rid of Schroeder.
Danilo Gallinari's ACL.
Danilo Gallinari's ACL. Maybe they're going to bring Melo in. I've seen a lot of rumors about that. That would be cool. But they only did 51 last year. I think I'm just going to hit the under because 55.5 is a lot. And just if anything, if they have a slow start at all, let alone an injury, they're going to go under that. I'm just going to play what I feel like are the odds there.
Sounds good.
Should we do a disclaimer? This is not to be taken as gambling advice. We are not professional gambling advisors.
And please don't abuse gambling. what is it that they say? What is it that the ad used to say on the Down the Dunk? What is it? Unassociated people in Michigan.
Michigan disassociated persons.
Disassociated persons. What the hell is that?
I don't know. I looked it up one day just to make sure it wasn't me, and it's not. I'm not allowed to gamble. I'm in the state of Washington. We can't do anything at all. Like if I go to any of these gambling websites, it just is like, no, you're in a bad state.
Really?
Just based on like my IP address or whatever.
Well, you need a VPN player.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I don't really have that much occasion to have one, right? Because I have League Pass to watch the Thunder. And it's actually great because being out of market, like I get every single Thunder game on there.
I mean, you would think that they would black it out where you're at.
Yeah. Like, well, so I get the Blazers.
It is a home game.
I get the Blazers blacked out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We get the Mavericks and the Thunder blacked out here.
Yeah. So like I have it better watching the Thunder up here since I get League Pass than people in Oklahoma do with League Pass games getting blacked out and Bally Sports being what it is.
Shit.
Yeah. That's what it is. So, anyway, next up, we've got the loading of this
Milwaukee Bucks.
The Milwaukee Bucks, 52.5. We got kind of a bunching of 52.5s here. Bucks, Suns, Clippers. Yeah. They put those all at the same number.
I'll let you go first on this one. So, Milwaukee Bucks, 52.5.
Let's see. What they say won. You? 51 last year.
Yeah. Battled injuries. Chris Middleton battled injuries. Yeah. Brooke Lopez was out for most of the year.
I think I'm going to say over because I already did one under, and you like to try to split them pretty close to 50-50. So I feel like that one's kind of a toss up. So I'll just lean over based on trying to even the math out.
I'm also going to go over. I think, you know, I think this is a 54-55 win team. The East is top heavy, but I still think that the middle to the bottom of the East is weaker than the middle to the bottom of the West.
Right.
And so,
yeah, there's a lot been made about how the East is like really strong, and that's true. But yeah, I agree. It's just like the top mm-hmm. four, maybe five is like really good in the East.
Yeah.
But whereas, it falls off pretty quick.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, a couple years ago, you usually just had like one championship contender in the East. Mm-hmm. Now you have at least three or four championship contenders in the East. And so, yeah, I do think the Bucks, the Celtics, the 76ers, the Nets, I think they're going to feast on those bottom layer teams in the East. And then, you know, they're going to stack up their wins. And so for Milwaukee, I think they're going to go over.
Okay. We're in agreement there after splitting on the Celtics. Maybe we should be writing these down. Maybe I'll just go back and listen and write them down later.
Yeah,
maybe I won't. We'll see.
Dylan does that. Dylan's the one that does that.
Dylan's got the night off. Yeah.
He's our stack keeper.
All right. Next up, also 52.5, the Phoenix Suns. You go for it.
Phoenix is – okay. I think we're due for a Chris Paul injury.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think we are. I think he's had the broken finger last year, but, you know, he was only out for a couple, you know, for like 10, 15 games. I think we're due for a breakdown of Chris Paul. And it's not just Chris Paul. Like, we have, you know, Chris Paul, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, all those players from the aughts. You know, they're kind of heading into the bottom prime of their career. And so I do think that Phoenix has been very lucky with Chris Paul over the past two seasons. But I do think that Chris Paul's penchant for getting injured may start to rear its head a little bit this season. So I'm taking the under for Phoenix.
Interesting. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say over. They won 64 games last year. 52.5. Like, yeah, okay, if Chris Paul gets hurt. But, I mean, they still got Devin Booker. DeAndre Ayton should be a year better. They were able to keep him around. That's just such a steep drop-off. I mean, I can't get there. I mean,
I wonder, injuries, all
bets are off.
True that, yeah. And, I mean, look – We should probably establish in this that injuries don't happen. So let me take that off the table.
No, I get what you're saying. I mean, no, even if you want to factor in like half an injury, like
or age, it,
some you know, injuries are more likely than related. Others. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm of the thought, honestly, that DeAndre Ayton he's kind of the type of player that plays better whenever he's due for a contract. And may take nights off once he gets that contract. I don't, from the little bit that I've heard about DeAndre Ayton, that kind of leads me to that. So I'm with that said, I'm wondering whether he kind of has more of a step back production wise this season because of that mentality, and then maybe steps it up in the playoffs whenever the lights are the brightest. But with that said, you know, we're talking about regular season. So I do think that 52.5, I take 52 wins, so that would be lower. So I'll take that.
Yeah. You know, and he becomes trade eligible in what, January or something. Yeah. So
you muted yourself. I don't know what happened. You muted. Can I unmute you? There we go.
All good.
And we're back.
There's no guarantee he's going to be there the whole year. I'm still going to go over just because. Man, dropping by 12 wins would be really something. Like,
it would.
It's kind of crazy they can drop by 12 and still hit the 50s. What a season they had. That's so crazy what happened last year. All right. And the third 52.5 wins, the Los Angeles Clippers. I feel like injury is going to play a factor here.
Yeah, well, that's a possibility. It's a high possibility. I'm taking the over on this.
Really?
Los Angeles impressed me a lot last year as far as what they were dealing with and their ability to that nucleus, that core of veteran players that they have outside of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. You know, their ability to kind of go past those injuries and still be able to compete and still get to a point where they were, they were there at the end. So I do think that with a healthy Kawhi, with a healthy Paul George, that they surpassed that win total. I think there's a possibility. I think that they might be the team that takes like the 64 wins, that takes that jump.
Yeah, I could see it, but I don't want to see it. So I'm just going to logic my way into my desired outcome, which is that even if they don't have any injuries, they're going to load manage PG and Kawhi to such an extent that they only get like 60 games each. And so like,
I mean, they load managed the shit out of them last year and they did okay. Not by their own doing.
No, but they were broken last year. Yeah. So I'll say over too.
All that to say, I'm taking the over.
But not 64, 53.
Okay.
And up next, the Golden State Warriors, 51.5.
This one seems a little bit weird to me.
Does it?
It does, because so they won 53 last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like you lost anybody from the championship team.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, you know, you get Klay Thompson at a much healthier clip. Mm-hmm. You get, you know, you get the second year of Kuminga, the second year of Moody. I don't see why they would go down. You know, you can go ahead and load manage, and maybe Draymond Green's injury is something that, you know, that kind of leaks into this year also, his back injury, and maybe that's something that maybe plagues the rest of his career. But I don't see how bringing back Jordan Poole, bringing back, you know, the two rookies from last year, and you still have Steph, you still have Draymond, you still have a healthier Klay Thompson. I don't see how you go down in victory.
I'm just going to run back everything I said about the Clippers and also go over.
It works for time.
Copy paste.
Yeah, for time.
Copy paste, change a couple of the names.
Yeah.
That's it. Up next,
Denver.
Denver Nuggets, 49.5 wins. This is an over.
This is an over, and mostly because of the division they play in. You know, they play the Thunder, they play the Jazz.
What a division it once was.
I know. how the mighty have fallen. So, you know, they're going to feast a little bit there. And, you know, they're getting back two of their best players in Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. So,
And Jokic never misses time. What a number. I'm kind of shocked that number's so low, honestly.
Yeah.
Maybe I do need to get a VPN.
Maybe they're thinking about adjustment period type. I have no idea. Some of these things are weird.
And if it wasn't for the fact that Jazz and, like I was saying, the Jazz and Cleveland numbers flopped like that, like, so I know that this is current. I mean, it says it was updated on the 12th. So 5 days ago, but that's kind of wild low. That's a 50 win team. They only get like half a season out of MPJ and like, they have to load manage Murray. Like, yes, Jokic is going to be healthy. So how is that not a 50-win team?
I mean, they were 48 last year. So, yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. You're crazy, Vegas insiders. More like Vegas outsiders. All right. The Philadelphia 76ers, 49.5.
This is you, man.
Over. I think they're going to be really good. I know Harden was like looking slow and whatnot, but they were still good with Harden and Embiid. They were shooting like 30 foul shots a game between the two of them. And they're only going to get better at playing with each other. I have to imagine it was a little bit of an adjustment period for Harden. Like, he's never really played with a big who gets the ball, you know?
Yeah.
All his bigs have just been lob catchers, or shooters.
I mean, if we think about it, like, Embiid is basically the center version of him, you know, as far as how much he commands with the ball and all the attention he commands. And so there is a situation where Harden becomes just a standstill 3-point shooter for that team, and Embiid is the one that has all the touches. Mm-hmm. And so they have another year.
Over under? You say over?
I'll say over. Yeah.
All right. Memphis Grizzlies 48.5.
This is where I think they go the under.
Mm.
I think Memphis. So number one, I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to miss some time. Correct.
Yeah, I think at least half of the season.
A meniscus, yeah, something like that. A meniscus, a foot, something like that.
I mean, so we're informed.
Perpetually injured Jaren Jackson Jr. I think last year everything broke right for them. And I think, you know, maybe things start to adjust a little bit. Maybe the shooting doesn't go down as well. You know, Desmond Bane isn't the greatest shooter in the world. Ja Morant, his shot maybe still doesn't work. You know, maybe he literally follows the career archetype of Westbrook, where, you know, maybe he has a couple of great seasons of shooting, but then the rest of it just kind of like, you know, he's just driving to the basket. And the thing about people who drive to the basket all the time is eventually they get hurt or eventually they start to break down. He's very young, probably not going to happen at this time. But I do think they take a step back this year and they readjust probably in the offseason, you know, maybe trade some of their rookies to get a better player in there. But I do think this is a year of adjustment for them. So I am taking the under.
I'm just looking. So I spoke about balance and how I need to have about the same number of over and unders. And I don't think I've picked an under since the first one with the Celtics. I think I've been over every time, just like eyeballing it. I think Memphis is also going over. So,
okay.
Forget all my strategies.
Everybody's going over. Everybody except for the Thunder.
Yeah, everybody over. Just take the Thunder's 25 wins and just spread them.
There you go. Hand out wins. We're not giving out L's. We're giving out W's. There you go. You get a W. You get a W. Okay. Right. Well, you got the over.
Dallas, 48.5 also.
I will once again take the under.
I'll go under here just because Christian Wood's not a winning player. I believe that. Miami Heat also 48.5. Little grouping there.
Miami's situation is a little bit like they're always good. They're just always good. They're always, you know, they're static. They're just always there. Great coaching, you know, good veteran leadership. You know, Udonis Haslam is coming back another year. Jimmy Butler. I'm going to take the over, but literally like 49 wins over.
I'll take the under. I think Jimmy Butler is getting old.
He is.
And he has those Tibbs miles on him.
But
Kyle Lowry is old.
He's got long hair, though. That might be a Samson type situation.
Goran Dragic is gone. Bam Adebayo has hit his ceiling and then will no longer improve. Tyler Hero's a scrub. Under.
Wow. Okay. I wonder, I do wonder how the Tyler Hero situation is going to play out, because after his first season, he looked like he was going to be a great number two on a team. And I mean, he was the sixth man of the year last year, right? Who was the sixth man of the year?
That could be right.
That could But I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle his possible extension coming up.
He's the sixth man of the year.
Yeah. I mean, so like it looked like he was in line to be like a great number two after his first season. He's kind of played like the bench role. He's kind of done what we wanted Harden, you know, what Harden did for us in his first three seasons also. Mm-hmm. And he won sixth man of the year also in his third season. But it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that.
Yeah. Scrub. Minnesota Timberwolves, 47.5.
I'm going to go over. I think that team is primed to do great things.
Well, Gobert wins regular season games, so I'll go over too. But
he's shooting three-pointers now.
It's the hair.
We've heard that story before, Steven Adams, but yeah. No, but I think, you know, I don't know. Like I like the Gobert move. I don't think, you know, Cat plays on the perimeter a lot. A lot more than most other centers do. And so I think it may work for them. And regardless of those guys, I think Anthony Edwards is the dude. I love how he plays. I love his game. I love his personality. I think he's going to be like, you know, a superstar darling in the league for the next decade. And I do believe that he's Michael Jordan's son. So
yeah, I've seen that. He looks just like him.
He does. He does. But yeah, you know, I like them, and I'll take the over for them.
I'll take the over too. What I'm most excited about for them is seeing how Anthony Edwards plays with an elite rim protector, so he can get that practice in for when he comes to OKC to play with Chet.
Yes, exactly.
Next up, the Atlanta Hawks, 46.5 wins.
I am going to take the over. I like the move to get DeJounte Murray. Hopefully DeAndre Hunter stays healthy. And they didn't really trade away. Did they trade away John? They didn't trade away John Collins, yeah, right?
He's still there.
Or Capella. Yeah. So I like them. I like them. I'll take the over. Not by much, but I'll take the over.
I'll take the under.
Okay.
46.5. I won 43 last year. I should take the over, but I'm going to take the under. I don't have any reasoning.
I just don't like space.
Ooh, the Lakers. 45.5.
I'm going to go under.
I'll go over because I want good things for Russ. And
I mean, I do too.
And I just hope it'll be okay. You know,
I do too.
I can't believe he's teammates with Pat Beverly. That's so weird. I hate it.
I know, man. It just doesn't seem right. But I mean, it kind of felt like. I know. I don't think you've seen She-Hulk.
No, I haven't seen any.
In She-Hulk, spoiler alert. In She-Hulk, she helps out Emil Blonsky, aka Abomination. But first, before she does that, she asks her cousin, you know, of course, Bruce Banner, and she's like, hey, I'm going to represent this guy. You had a fight with him in Harlem many years ago. Do you still hold any ill will towards him? And he's basically...
Oh, like, from the Edward... Is it from the Edward Norton Hulk movie?
Yeah, yeah.
That guy?
Edward, okay. Yeah, that guy. Okay. And he was basically like, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek, I'm a different person than I was back then. You know, kind of like, because he literally is a different person. But yeah, I mean, to Russ and to Pat Beverly, it may be a situation where, hey, you know, stuff happens in the NBA. Players get injured. People do stupid things and players get injured. And now you're my teammate and let's go to war. Or it could just be a situation where Russ is going to get traded here sometime, you know, within the next couple of months. But I do think that their win total is going to be under that.
Well, I think it's over because Anthony Davis is going to remember how to shoot. It's going to be cool.
I don't think shooting was his problem last year.
Well, it didn't help. It was the worst shooting season like ever for him.
Glass bones were the problem.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh, another right back to back, the Lakers and then the Nets. 45.5 The same over under. Vegas with both of these teams was just like, I don't know. Just threw their hands up, put them in the middle, let people fight over it.
I'm gonna go under.
I'll go over.
Okay. Bro, you're literally taking the over for every team.
No, I'm not. I did a nice little run of unders there. Try to get back on track. Did the Hawks and the Heat.
Are you factoring
Mavs?
Are you factoring in the midseason tournament? Is that what you're doing?
No. Well, I'll tell you what I am factoring in, though, is there's probably not going to be any COVID restrictions on Kyrie this season.
True. But I'm taking the under because I think KD gets traded sometime this year.
Well, yeah, then they would definitely go under. I mean, they're probably still going to try to be decent, probably try to do win now moves, and 45.5 is not that much. So I could see them doing it and still getting to like a decent record, especially if it happens any kind of significant way into the season. Yeah, I'm going to take the over on this one, but I get the logic for the under. Up next, the New Orleans Pelicans, 44.5.
I'll take the over on this one. I just think a healthy Zion and, you know, all the other players that they have on this team, the addition of CJ McCollum, I think they finally put it all together and, you know, they give us a 48, 49, 50 win season.
All right, I'll just be contrarian here and do the under on this one and say they had it all figured out. They finished super strong last year, made their way into the playoffs. Zion's going to come back and just like crush their chemistry. His heart's not in it with the Pelicans. He kind of wants out anyways. He's just going to cause some problems, man. That Zion guy, you know.
In his mind, New York still doesn't have a superstar.
That's right. Loves the garden. Loves the garden. Raptors also 44.5.
I'm going to take the over on the Raptors. I like their core. I like Scottie Barnes, Siakam, Van Fleet. I'll take the over.
What did they win last year?
I mean, they won
48.
Yeah.
That's weird. Well, I wonder why their number went down so far. Surely they'll get better, right?
I wonder, everybody's going to go over.
Why is it? How is Vegas doing this to me? I just believe the best in people.
I don't know, but yeah.
I'll say over on the Raptors too. Scottie Barnes is going to be better. Like I don't know why Vegas is thinking they're going to come in worse. The competition in the East didn't get that much crazier. I don't know. I don't get that one. The Bulls, 43.5.
I'm going under. I don't think DeMar DeRozan has a season like he had last year.
No. Yeah, this seems like an easy one for me to grab one of my scarce unders for. Although they did have a lot of injury problems. And
they did.
I'll just go under here. Because I agree. DeMar DeRozan's due for some regression. I mean, he was an MVP candidate at least like two-thirds of the way through the year last year. The Cleveland Cavaliers, 46.5.
This is where the order gets messed up.
Yeah, so they gained. So just based on the teams that were around them, they gained between three and six wins.
Yeah,
with the addition of Donovan Mitchell, which that's reasonable increase, I guess.
Let's see. So last year they won
44.
44. And so Donovan Mitchell is worth 2.5 wins.
And Mobley missed the end of the year too.
Yeah. I'm gonna take the over on this. Let me just browse
the rest of the list and make sure I still have some unders to get to.
I think Cleveland, it's gonna take some time for that chemistry to work out. But, you know, once those first 10 to 15 games of the season occur, I think this team will start to put it all together. They have a good core of players. And I just think the East, you know, is your prime to be able to win 15 to 20 games just off the back of playing, you know, weaker teams. So I think 47, 48 wins is possible for them. Very possible.
Yeah, I want to go over too. And Mitchell helps with regular season wins. He's basically an offense unto himself. The Jazz have had an awesome offense like every year he's been there. And then getting Mobley back, like they should be pretty great on both ends of the court.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see them hit the 50s. Yeah.
Until they play the Thunder, because if you saw in the video, you know, Shea right. was just cooking Evan Mobley.
Cooking him.
Straight cooking him.
Guy was just hopping all over the place. Fried jumping chicken. For everything. Okay. Up next, the Portland Trail Blazers, 40.5. 40.
Portland just seems ugly to me. I'm going to take the under. I think they just seem like a team stuck in mud to me. I know they got Jeremy Grant. I know, you know, Dame is coming back. You know, Simmons, he's a good young player, but it just seems like a team that's a collection of parts, not a team as a whole. So I think I'll take the under. I think they get like 38, 39 wins.
I wouldn't be surprised if they get off to a slow start if we start getting some Dame trade stuff.
And it's possible, and it's completely possible. And Dame to the Lakers is not something that would be too far off.
Yeah, because he was already like starting his rumblings, you know, mm-hmm. a couple off seasons ago. And then they got quiet back down because they keep making the moves he wants them to, I guess. And, you know, he's loyal or whatever. I don't know how much of this loyalty I believe in, you know. Like Russ was loyal. He also got the biggest paycheck he could get. Like, you know, exactly. It's a bit of this, bit of that. Everybody's doing the best thing for themselves. It's nice when it aligns with loyalty. I'm sure if it's a tiebreaker, that might count for something. But I could just see where we get to, you know, January and the Blazers are kicking around the 8 or 9 seed, and Dame's like, you know what? Why don't you give me to LA? Blazers, you've already got, you've got Simons. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. This is bad because I wanted him in the draft. Who was their draft pick this year?
Oh, you're talking about
the young guy who they had no tape on.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I have to look it up. But they got him, and so like just
the guy that played literally like 5 minutes in summer league. He was out like an injured shoulder.
Yeah, and hurt his shoulder.
His name is Shaden Sharp.
Shaden Sharp. Jesus. Yeah,
it's so funny, so man.
They've got him, and like, then they've got their stuff. So, they got what they got from the Pelicans that they flipped for Jeremy Grant, basically. So if they can just like, they could trade Grant, get a couple draft picks, get those Lakers picks for taking on Russell Westbrook in exchange for Dame, like it's pretty clean. That's like a nice, decent start to a rebuild. They could just blow it up and start it over right there.
Yeah. It's so funny, man. Like, you know, me and Dylan, we worked the pre-draft thing for like mm-hmm. 2 months there. So I should know every one of these players, man. But it's like one of those things. It's like, so, you know, I'm a teacher. And every May, I tell my students, hey, okay, when I see you during the summer, I will recognize your face. But for 90% of you guys, I'm going to completely forget your name. just because, like, you don't have to remember anymore. Like, your mind.
Yeah, is, just you know, flush it. I need the space. I got a new set of 30 coming in. You need to remember those names.
And so, like, you know, the draft process, I'm already thinking about Victor and Scoot and Azure and all those guys. And so, like, the ones from last year, just like, whatever. I'll see them, you know, whenever the Thunder play the Port, you know, Portland in some, you know, random February game. I'll be like,
I thought that guy was going to be good.
Still on the bench. Still got an injured shoulder. Oh, there's Russ right next to him. Awesome.
So, yeah, we're both under on the Blazers. Knicks 39.5.
I'm going under. I hate this team.
Yeah, me too, man. They're not going to be any fun to watch. And Tibbs is only going to play their old players and not give their youngs any run.
It's hella mid. Like, this team is so mid. It's not even funny.
Gross. I don't even really want to think about them that much. And then there were all those. I keep coming back to this. I feel like everybody forgot about it, but there was reports that the whole front office was going to get fired if they didn't get Donovan Mitchell. Like, people were saying on the record, like, their jobs are at stake, and then they didn't get him. And I feel like everybody's just like, so
we'll see what happens in Dolan Land. That's your uncle right there. So,
man, I wish
he wouldn't give you any money.
You ever seen Succession?
I have not. Is that a good that? Show?
Oh, yeah, you got to get in Succession. It's great. There's a character, so it's about a very, very rich family. They're in media. And there's a character, Greg, who's just like, he's like a second cousin or something, and is just kind of like glommed on and is kind of working his way up just by like failing his way upward and like being friends with the right people. And he's hilarious. Yeah. That I would do that with the Dolans.
Yeah.
No problem. I can glom with the best of them.
Hey, Unc, what's up?
I heard your band's good.
Yeah.
Speaking of definition of mid, Charlotte Hornets, 36.5.
Ugh. This is gross. So we've reached a point in the teams where, like, basically almost everything is gross except for the Thunder.
We're going to get past the gross to, like, to where we have rooting interest of them doing well, to where we care about them. Like, so, we just have to get through this. The Knicks, where are we? Knicks, Hornets, Wizards.
Yeah, okay.
Kings.
So, and Hornets. Just, like,
I don't care about those teams.
I'm going to go under with the Hornets. I think the loss of Bridges, Miles Bridges, you know, bastard that he is. But I think it's going to hurt them. It's going to hurt them, you know, player wise. He was probably their second best player on the team. And he was supposed to have a pretty good, I think this was his fourth season. He's supposed to be pretty good this season. I just think that's going to hurt him. So I'm going to take the under.
Yeah, I'll take the under too. And I wonder if LaMelo Ball might be a guy that we might be talking about with a lot more interest in relation to our future draft assets here in a couple of years.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't he see?
Would you be interested in LaMelo Ball on this team?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really? Okay. I feel like he's Josh Giddey with a better shot right now.
Yeah, but what if we had two of them?
I mean,
he's like
6'7".
Like, why not?
I know.
Shea Giddey and LaMelo. That's our 1-2-3.
So we just want to form the MBL All-Stars on this team?
Yeah, they're scrappy.
Started with Terrence Ferguson, but now we got LaMelo Ball and Josh Giddey.
Yep. I'm into it. Okay, the Washington Wizards, 35.5.
I'm actually taking the over on this. I think
it's a low number.
Yeah, it is. So Beal, Porzingis. I think Porzingis is. I think Porzingis wants to have an FU season, and Washington is probably the perfect place to do it. You have a couple East teams that are going to be a lot worse than you, and then you have a couple teams that they're probably going to surprise in the East as far as, you know, playing them and winning. So I'm going to take the over with Washington. I think they're going to surprise some people.
I'll take the under, and Beal gets traded where he wants to go.
Really? Because
he has no trade clause, so he gets to pick. And that's another interesting Lakers target.
That is, yeah.
You know, they like Russ down there.
But I mean, I think they like Russ with Beal, not right. They like Russ by himself.
He'd be fun though. He'd still be fun. Okay, now here the order gets weird again. I'm actually so gonna adjust
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there you
so,
go.
So Kings 32. That's hosting. That's hosting.
Hey.
All right. So Kings 32.5.
I am going to take the over. I think the Kings got a little bit better.
Yeah. They got Herder.
They got better.
Yeah. Yeah, they got Herder, Red Velvet. He's good. They got, you know, Sabonis for the full season. Keegan Murray looked really good in summer league.
He did.
I think this is a kind of a crazy low number, 32.5.
Yeah, I think it's more of
they'll be pushing 500.
It's a reputational number, I think.
Yeah. They get five just for being the Kings.
Yeah, I'll take the over.
All right. Detroit Pistons, 28.5.
Ooh. That's where it gets interesting. I am going to take the over. Not by much, but I'm taking the over. Maybe 29, 30 wins.
I'll take the under for the Pistons, and that's because of my respect for Troy Weaver. I think I think he's the full disciple of Sam Presti, and I think he wants one more year, one more good pick.
It's possible.
Especially they kind of got screwed in the lottery this last year. I mean, I know they ended up still getting their guy, quote unquote, in Jaden Ivey. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, reports were kind of that they would have taken Ivey higher if they had a higher pick. At least four, maybe even higher than that. But so I think they kind of worked out for them, but I think they would have rather had the number two pick, and they kind of got dinged in the lottery. So I think they want one more shot at it.
I can see that.
All right. Utah Jazz, 26.5.
I don't think Utah is that bad. Like, I think they have a hodgepodge collection of players that on any given night can do pretty good. And I just don't want them to do better than the Thunder at losing. So I'm going to give them the over. I don't care. I know. I'm going to give them the over.
It's weird. So with Ryan Smith, and he spent like a large portion of his money to get that team. His net worth like wasn't much higher than what – what he spent on that team. And then you had Tillman Fertitta do the same thing with the Rockets, and then both teams immediately turned to a tank. It's just interesting that happened two times in a row. You would think that the new ownership, like with the Wolves, right, is like comes in as like, let's win now, you know, like let's have some fun and play with our new toys. But both of those teams seem to be being pretty patient about it. But I do wonder if the new owner will have the stomach for a full teardown.
That's true.
And I saw an interview with one of the assistant coaches who was talking, and oh no, I'm sorry, it was their new head coach, Will Hardy. I just remember being a little shocked because he's been in like so many jobs. I thought he was like a young up and comer kind of, but he was kind of an old guy. So it took me till halfway through the video. I was like, oh, that's Will Hardy. That's what he looks like.
Not everybody can be, Mark Gagnon. You know?
But he was talking about the roster, and somebody asked him, and I expected him to just be like, you know, we like the guys we have. We'll see who's still here, you know, like give something generic. But he really got in pretty deep about how they fit together and like the kind of stuff he was excited to see them. I'm wondering if they might just stick and just be happy. Like you see the people say about the Thunder all the time, right? Where it's like, they don't really need to tank. Look at all the picks they have. And it's like, well, we know that it's our pick that matters the most because we can get that. We can control that. And I wonder if they might, with their new owner, if he might not have the stomach for a full teardown, it might just be like, hey, we got all these picks. Like, let's let them handle it and let's just try to compete. Maybe that's just me being hopeful, but I'll ride that hope to an over.
I mean, so what I'll say is that Colin Sexton and Malik Beasley, to me, are not guys that like to lose. You know, say what you want about the faults in their games, you know, because they do have faults in their game, but they are pretty good players. And I don't think you know, those guys, from what I've seen, they don't like to lose. They like to stick it in your face. They like to, you know, kind of play to the crowd sometimes. And so I don't know why you made that face.
Stick what in your face?
And they just made a shot, man. Not anything, not any body part. But yeah, like, I think they have, like, you know, they got some dog in them. And so,
yeah.
And so I think they'll win a couple games based off of, you know, that dog in them.
All right. Yeah. You might think this is funny because there were people on Twitter lamenting the breakup of Sexland, you know, Darius Garland and Colin Sexton. I just took a quick look at Utah's roster and I was like, you know, Sexton's now going to be on the same team with Rudy Gay. You want to make a new duo?
Yes. Yeah. I don't think that's the first time he's had a teammate that had like sex in his name for some reason.
Yeah, really? That's funny. Well, people were like, oh no, Sexland's breaking up. And I was like, look, Colin Sexton is the important part of that group. And wherever he's going, there's going to be somebody you can pair sex with and make something funny. Like, sex is the important part of that. It's not the land.
I agree.
All right. I'm going to skip the Thunder. We'll do the Thunder last.
Okay.
Orlando Magic, 25.5. And we're coming up near the end. We have like four teams left.
Orlando Magic, 25.5. Yeah, I'm going under. I think they're still a bad team.
I know I'm still like I'm way over on my overs here, but I think over. I think so. I heard Zach Lowe say something about, like, he heavily implied that like they can't tank anymore. Like, their ownership is over it. That's not to say they'll be able to be good, but they were like tanking hard at the end of last season, and if their ownership's really over it, they might. Maybe they make a little trade. Maybe they trade for one of these, do something stupid and trade for one of these Jazz players, you know? Maybe they get a vet, or at least just play their best lineups all the time, you know?
Well, I mean, I think, like, I look at their guard situation. They have so many guards, so many young guards. And I think they're primed for, you know, if they want to make a move for somebody like a Bradley Beal, you know, they're primed to provide not just young players, but of course, you know, draft picks. Mm-hmm. And so that may be something that's very, you know, that to Bradley Beal being able to play with, you know, Paolo Banchero, some of their other young players, it may kind of entice them. I don't know.
Yeah. And if Paolo's half as good his rookie year as everybody seems to think, then that could lead to some wins. I'm going to take the over on Orlando.
Okay. I'd be happy if that happens.
Yeah. Indiana Pacers, 24.5.
See, I'm actually going to go over with them, but not by much. But, like, I think Tyrese Halliburton, Benedict Mathurin, Miles Turner, I think that's a good little nucleus that they have there. So I think they'll pull out some victories here and there.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. Under. I need it for my math. Okay. Houston Rockets, 23.5.
Freaking Houston. I want to say over, but I'm going to say under.
Yeah, I'm going to say under. They won 20 last year. They're going to be starting Shingun.
Yeah, that's a bad makeup of a team.
Yeah. I think Eric Gordon is either not going to be playing or is going to be traded finally.
Yeah.
I mean, Shingun, like, I don't know. His defense is really bad. Like, even in the Euro basket, his defense was really bad. I think he'll probably be something eventually, but as of right now, he's just not ready. And I think he's going to start and play a lot. So,
I mean, he's Turkish. He's Turkish Vucevic. I mean, great offensive player. But eventually, you know, NBA teams are going to be like, go at him, and he's going to be played out of games, out of playoff games, out of big time games.
I feel like the thing that people miss about him, like, if who haven't like actually looked at his stats or watched him play, is he can't shoot right now, like, at all.
He's He's very good at, like, he has good, what's the word, like, body control. He has very good body control for being as big as he is.
He's agile. He looks
the good. Same way, yeah, the same way that kind of Enes Kanter, not necessarily had great body control, but on the offensive end, he had great body control. Defensively, it did not translate at all. And so I think Sengun is just a modern version of that type of player that's able to do great things on the offensive end, but not necessarily anything that is very skillful, just something that he knows how to control his body in, you know, in the paint and in that area to get buckets. But defensively, he's going to get played off the floor once again.
Yeah. Right now, he's a great post player, great passer. That's about it. Like, potential as a defender, potential as a shooter, but neither one of those are real right now. So, I mean,
we'll see. Like, you look at it and you say, oh, that sounds kind of like young Nikola Jokic. But the thing about Jokic is that he's not bad defensively. He's not necessarily able to move, but positionally, he's a very good defender.
Well, and he's huge. He's seven feet tall.
Exactly. He's huge. And Sengun is not huge.
Sengun is small.
6'9", yeah.
Yeah, he's a small guy for a center. So, I mean, is he particularly agile or is he just little?
You make it sound like he's like the little Mario just running around.
He's a little fellow. That's okay. I didn't mean to make this a Sengun pod.
Good job there, host.
Spurs 23.5 also.
Yeah. So I actually think the Spurs are going to be better than Houston. I guess I'll take the over, but slightly.
You know, Houston was the worst team in the league 2 years in a row. And I tweeted a while ago, like, the Process Sixers never did that. The Bobcats never did that. Like, the Thunder obviously have never done that. It hasn't been since the Vancouver Grizzlies. Oof. and they actually did it 3 times. So Houston, I think Houston might be pushing for that, but I will take the under on the Spurs. I think they have like one good player and they're probably going to trade. Like, I think right now they have like three good players and they're probably going to trade a couple of them.
Pirtle.
Yeah, Pirtle's good. And Josh Richardson. I always had a sweet spot for him. He's a Tulsa boy. And then Keldon Johnson, who I think is the one who will stick around. But I think everybody else is going to go, and they're going to be real bad.
With all that said, Pop is still coaching.
That's true. It didn't help him much last year.
It helped more than 23.5.
That's true. Okay. Well, I'll take the under. I get it. Yeah. Pop be popping. Okay.
Last but not least,
or are they? The Oklahoma City Thunder over under 26.5 wins, a full 3 games better than the Rockets and Spurs. This is a number after Chet's injury news. So I just thought that was kind of crazy that they have us a full 3 wins, even with Chet out. I mean, Shea's great. So that's why. That's the Shea bump.
I don't want to say this, but I'm going to take the over. I think, like you said, Shea's the Shea bump. I think Shea is going to have a great season. I think they're going to let him cook a little bit more this season. I think Josh Giddey he's good, man. I think he's a different breed of point guard in this league. And I think he's going to start to show it this year. And the thing is, you know, last season we still got 24 wins last year.
Yeah.
And that was with basically the same type of defensive deficiency of not having a great center in the middle, not having any center in the middle. And so if you just kind of extrapolate that and you add better players on the periphery, you talk about, you know, players like J-Dub, I just think they're either going to equal that amount or go over that amount. And so I think about 27 to 28 wins will be their total this season.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over as well. I think we'll probably end up in the fifth, just eyeballing it. I think probably the fifth lottery slot. I think Spurs, Rockets, Pacers, Jazz are the teams that'll be worse than us. And that's even with me taking the Jazz over, I think, so they could get 27 and we'll end up with 28 or 29 and end up in the fifth lottery spot. And then the Magic and the Pistons right around there with us. So, I mean, look, if we end, if we get near the end of the year and it's between the fifth lottery slot and the eighth with a couple wins, like some plugs are going to be pulled again.
Oh, yeah.
It comes down to that, you know. I would love to see, I would love to see whatever lottery slot we're in is just like, we have like a three-game gap on either side and we're just locked in and we're like, let's just roll it. It doesn't matter. You know, these games are truly irrelevant. And which would be funny because it would test Sam Presti's games of consequence thing. If he's like, these games are of zero consequence, let's let Shea play because it doesn't matter if we win.
And here's the thing is, we're right back to how we were last season where we're playing, like you said, we're playing teams that the games themselves are of zero consequence as a win. So we're playing, you know, we play Utah in the second to last game. We play Indiana. We play Detroit before that. So the last, 10 games of the season, we're playing teams that are going to be battling against us for lottery position. So that's going to be tank wars, man.
I hate those games.
Yeah, I hate them too, you know, but hey, Jurgis Kalatsakis, welcome back. 10-day contract, baby.
So, hey, I meant to – so that's it for over-unders. And host fail, I meant to get to this at the top. But if you're listening to this and you haven't listened to our last episode, Alex got a chance to sit down with the mayor of Oklahoma City, Mr. David Holt. And it was a really good interview. It wasn't all – you know, stumping for the new arena, although there was a little bit of that. That was, I think that's the kind of the point of him even being willing to do some local media, try to get a one-on-one with the fans so he can try to kind of get his point across about why the Thunder need a new arena. I thought that was really good. How did you enjoy it? Do you like talking to him?
Oh, I enjoyed it big time, man. Like he's a, like politicians know what they're doing, man. Like he, like, I was talking to him before the we actually, you know, went live with the podcast, and I was like, "Hey, did you see the doc with all the questions on it?" And he was like, "Oh no, I haven't seen that." And he was like, "Oh, don't worry, we'll just roll with it." And it's just like, you know, if that's what politicians do, like that's
crazy. Their thing.
That's what they do. And so he just went into the interview blind and just, you know, answered all the questions, which I'm pretty sure, you know, politicians rehearse their stuff and they rehearse what they say. But with that said, still, like, he went into it and was like, okay, let's go, let's roll.
Sure, like, that's crazy, because I almost wondered if there was a little bit of behind the scenes, like, maybe not editing questions, but, like, rearranging or something like that, because he was able to just, like, he peppered in his messages and, like, spread them out pretty well. Like, it wasn't just, like, a concentrated portion of, like, okay, here's the points I want to say, and the rest was fluff. It was, like, it was a nice flow to it, and I almost wondered if he edited a little bit, but he hadn't even seen the questions. That's crazy.
Like, at the end of the interview, if he would have been like, yo, this is what I do, I would have been like, right, it is.
Now, my only edit is he, at one point talking about the first Thunder season, he referenced that we went 3-27, and while that's true, I think he was looking for 3-29, which was the darkest it got.
Yes.
So, but that's so, I think it's acceptable for him to make that little flub.
I mean, it's been 15 seasons, so.
Yeah, but no, he was good. I liked him. He seems like one of the good ones. You know,
he's very genuine, man. Like he's you know, when you meet people and you talk to people, you talk to their representative. You know, you don't necessarily talk to their, you know, their real self. But, you know, he did a great job of making me feel like he was being very genuine, very honest. And that's kind of what I've always kind of gleaned from him is, you know, he's an honest dude. He's a, you know, salt of the earth type person. And so I had a great time.
Yeah. And, you know, political leanings aside, it's nice when somebody on either side of the aisle talks and you're just like, they seem like a good dude or a good lady, you know, and just like
you see people are like,
can't you like sit down and eat dinner, be friends with somebody who you disagree with politically? It's like, oh, some of them, you know, and yeah. Like, and yeah, he seems like one that people on both sides could probably enjoy a chat with. So
definitely, yeah,
good guy. I like him. So we put out a call pretty late for some Twitter questions, and we got a few in, a couple from Dylan, who just can't keep his nose out. I'm trying to take over his hosting, and he's just like, no, I gotta get my questions in here. Interloper.
He's like, damn it, I'm gonna be involved in this somehow.
I know.
And there you go.
So, man, his questions are like full topics. Like, yeah, I think that was his intent. Probably he knows we're here in the dead zone of the off season, so he was trying to give us a whole half hour to talk. But
so I think his little question, we have to trim like the number of people down completely.
I know, yeah, for real. So he asked one about the All-Star weekend. I think it would be cool if we just save that one. We can just do that on a different episode. And then he asked one, have you seen Cobra Kai?
I have not.
Okay. Well, I can just handle this one real quick. He asked if the current players were in the show Cobra Kai, what dojos would they represent? The three dojos are Cobra Kai, Miyagi-Do, and Eagle Fang.
Like, Dylan loves these types of questions because yeah. I remember years ago, he did the whole, you know, which player would be, you know, he did the whole which player would be in which Harry Potter house or which of the houses of on Harry Potter. And so, you know, it was difficult for me because I had never seen Harry Potter. And so it wasn't until years later that I actually saw Harry Potter with my daughter, that I was able to understand a little bit more of what he was referencing whenever he did that podcast with me years ago.
I was on that one. Huge Harry.
Oh,
Potter.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait till I can get into that with my daughter.
I didn't know if it was you, if it was Chelsea that was on there with us.
It was both of us. We were both on okay. that one. I can't wait. I'm so excited to. Yeah, I want to do it right. I want to do Harry Potter the books first with my daughter before we watch the movies. I feel like that's the right way to do it.
Good job.
And I'm not like a huge like, oh, the movies suck. They're not as good as the books. Like, of course they're not. But I like the movies too. Anyway. So the dojos, Cobra Kai is, do you remember Karate Kid?
I mean, I remember Cobra Kai was like, they were the antithesis to Danielson.
Yeah. So Cobra Kai is like no mercy, like
yeah.
be brutal. And
are they still
win,
like
win
that?
At all costs? Well, he's old and he's like a failed ninja guy. And then he befriends Daniel, who's the main character of Karate Kid, and they kind of, but then the old sensei comes back and makes them hardcore again. And then he leaves and starts his own dojo called Eagle Fang, where he's kind of trying to combine the two. So I think we can just do it like this. Cobra Kai's like hardcore, no mercy, like win at all costs. Miyagi-Do is like team oriented and like find your inner peace and like do things the right way. And then Eagle Fang is like trying to combine the two.
Okay.
So here's what I think. I think Dort and Shay are going to be the only ones that can go Cobra Kai.
Win at any cost.
Yeah.
No mercy.
Yeah. Oh, and maybe really? Chet and Chet.
I think, yeah, Chet. Yeah. Chet has that asshole in him.
Yeah. I think everybody else is Miyagi-Do except for Poku, who's Eagle Fang, because he's just like a combination of things that doesn't make sense.
Sure. I think, so I honestly think Kenrich would come out to Eagle Fang.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that because he's like the leader, like, what was it Dagnalt said, where you grab somebody by the shirt? Was that the phrase?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. But he also seems like a nice guy.
He does. I don't know. Again, I haven't seen Cobra Kai, so I can't really delve too much into this.
We got one about the first episode of season 3 of The Boys, which I haven't seen. Have you seen that?
I have, yes.
I've seen the first two seasons. With the third season, my wife and I both really liked the first two seasons. But things are so crazy with the kids right now that every time we like get an hour at the end of the day where we're like, let's watch some TV, it's like, okay, let's watch something that like relieves stress and makes us laugh instead of like watch people die in bloody fashion.
Do you know what he's talking about though?
No, I don't.
So basically,
let me read the question. Was there anything crazier on TV than the Shrinky Twink explosion on season 3, episode 1 of The Boys?
Shrinky Twink, yes. So you know that, you know how they talk about like Ant-Man and they say what he should have done to Thanos?
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Okay, so I don't want to spoil anything for you, but let's just say that The Boys, that, you know, that universe has their own version of like an Ant-Man that's able to shrink down to a molecular size and then, you know, expand back up to a normal size human. And he likes to do coke. I'll just leave it at that. And so, because I don't want to spoil anything for you.
All right. Was there anything crazier?
Is there anything? Well, yeah, there's another episode in this season. I think it's episode 4 or 5 called basically Herogasm, where there's a superhero orgy for like half of the episode. And so you see things as they're walking around this house. And yeah, man, that's crazy.
Yeah,
stuff
that's
there.
Crazy.
So I'll go there. With that said, if you have kids, do not watch season 3 with the kids around.
Okay. No.
But yeah. No. But yes.
Okay. How many triple doubles will the Thunder have as a team this season? And I'm sorry, the Shrinky Twink question was from at the Doug Beck, and then this one is at Good 2-Bit job, Man Child, Chris Fullerton. Triple doubles
where they have as a team. So I think they would have had more if Chet, you know, wouldn't have gotten injured.
Oh, you think do you think Chet would have had them?
I think he would have had at least one or two of the point, rebound, block variety.
Oh, the surge triple double.
Yes, I do. I really think he would have. But with that said, you know, I think Josh Giddey gets up around 8 to 10.
He had 4 last year.
Yeah, I think he gets up to about 8 to 10.
And then Poku had one.
Yeah. And then I think Shea has his couple, you know, 1 or 2, 3 here. So I think together as a total, I think I'm going to say 11 as a team.
I'll price is wrong you and say 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I get the under.
There you go.
All by Poku.
At the end of the season.
Yeah. And then last one here, and then we'll get y'all out of here. I thought we might have trouble getting to an hour at this point in the off season.
Yeah, I know. We're at an hour 15.
Not gonna lie. This one, friend of the merch at Sublime 50, Illis 1, Sublime 50. If you could have one piece of memorabilia from the Thunder's run to date, what would you want and why? He says he would want the James Harden signed credit card receipts from the Miami strip clubs in 2012.
That's literally what broke this team apart.
Yeah, no kidding. That or those sweet CFM boots. I don't know what CFM means. Do you know what that means?
I have no idea.
Okay, but he means Kevin Durant's shoes that had the shoes connected to like the socks that went up to his knees. They were all orange. Yeah. It looked like Daffy Duck. So he wants those boots, I guess. I don't know what CFM means though. Sorry, Sub. Those were nice. Those were some nice shoes. Do you have a favorite piece of memorabilia that you own?
That I own? I own a signed Westbrook jersey.
That's pretty good. My favorite is, and it's not signed or anything, but I have this shirt, the fan shirt from game 1 of the finals, the game we won.
Yeah.
So that's probably my favorite piece. It's in my closet.
what I would love would be the first initial mask that Russell Westbrook wore after his face was dented in. I think they were playing Philadelphia. You know, he had that mask on where, like, he dunked the ball one time and it hit his face and he didn't even flinch. He just went with it. Maybe that signed by him, that would be awesome.
That's a good one. That's really good. I was thinking about this earlier, and I think all mine are centered around, like, comfortable things I would wear.
Okay.
So there's this shirt brand, Sportique, who they have some stuff that was sold in the arena, and I had this hoodie from them that was just like my favorite hoodie in the world that I lost at some point. And a while back I saw a picture of the Grizzlies practicing and like Steven Adams was wearing this hoodie and I could just see the tag and it was the exact brand. And like, I went to their website, I got all excited because I'd finally found the brand, and they have like an NBA merch section, and they only have like two teams that they're authorized to make merch for. And the Thunder isn't one of them, but interestingly, neither are the Grizzlies. So I guess the NBA teams just have like a direct hookup with them, and I'm jealous, but I would like a copy of that, my old hoodie. Cause it's so comfortable.
I just looked up CFM shoes.
Oh, what is it?
So, I mean, according to Urban Dictionary.
Okay. Always a promising start.
Oh, see, CFM shoes are like very high stiletto heels.
Uh huh.
CFM means come me shoes.
Oh.
Come okay. Freak me shoes.
Okay, I get it. So it's like high leather boots is what he's.
There we go.
Comparing
yeah.
them to. Okay, I could see that. Except they're orange.
Funny.
All right. Well, you learn something new every day.
Well, there you go.
Well, so for me, either that hoodie or I guess like along the same vein, maybe a pair of the shorts from the old navy blue alternates. They had like the thick white waistband.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just look super comfy, you know.
You know what'd be cool? To get the 2008 Summer League jerseys.
Ooh, the ones that just
had like the circular, just the
just
ball.
Said Oklahoma City basketball. They didn't even have the Thunder name yet. They hadn't picked their name yet. Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be cool.
Just that in
talk
in
about
a
retro.
0 or 35. Yeah.
Talk about retro and nobody knowing what the hell you have on.
That's a good pick. I would like that. We could probably just go get something very similar to that made at some screen printing shop. Nobody would be able to tell the difference.
Probably.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. Well, how do we end this thing?
We usually say,
thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
I should have already said something about this. We're part of the Believe Podcast Network. Or is that in one of our drops?
That is in one of our drops, the Believe Network.
All right. Well, we are part of the Believe Network. Believe. Thank you for listening. I have been Stephen Dolan. He has
been
Alex Roig. I've always wanted to try that. I like when people say that I have been.
Anyway. Okay. I mean, hey, there's no time like the
I have been. Yeah. Might never get this chance again the way this is going. So hoop when you can.
There you go. We used to say get vaccinated and all that good stuff, but COVID doesn't exist anymore.
We assume you're already vaccinated.
Yeah.
If you're not, like, come on, get with the program.
And
as always,
thunder
up.
I think we fumbled that ball like 5 yards ago.
No, we're in the end zone, man. We made it.
Touchdown.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter @OKC Topic Thunder. Thunder up!
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.